Hello, everyone. I am James Dean Mixes from the Mixing Music Podcast, member exclusive episodes, where every week DK and I break down the technical side of mixing, mastering, and music production. With the normal weekly episodes, you get to hear DK and Lou talk about the more philosophical side of the music industry. On the member exclusive episodes, DK and I get more into the nitty-gritty technical side of things. We sometimes do mix breakdowns, we break down technical tips, and sometimes we share things that couldn't be shared on the normal public episodes. And we release two of these episodes every week. So for $3.99 a month, you get quite the bang for your buck. So go check out the mixingmusicpodcast.com or click on the link in the description to subscribe now. So without further ado, here's an episode from the vault. Lovely, the great Daddy DK.
Hello. Hi, I'm Daddy DK.
We actually have something very exciting, so I think we'll just get kind of right into the clip. I'm going to play a little clip. It's from, so RX11 came out, and they have a very exciting new feature that helps a ton with loudness and streaming, and they released a video with Del Becker, who... he has a lot of great mastering credits. He recently mastered Billie Eilish's new album, which sounds amazing. And he talks about this new module, and it helps us understand a lot about how loudness works in streaming. So yeah, without further ado, roll the clip.
You listen generally on Spotify, even though songs are playing back technically at the minus 14 LUFS loudness, we do find that some songs do sound louder and other songs sound softer. When I listen to the song Safe House and reference it against my known references on Spotify, I'm finding that Safe House is actually playing back quieter than my references. As a mastering engineer, I am super interested in these unexpected differences. You have two songs that are minus 14 LUFS, but there's a difference in apparent volume. The new tool set in RX11 helps me understand why these differences occur. So let's open up this example. I have this file here that is 4 seconds of quiet pink noise followed by 4 seconds of loud pink noise. What I'm going to do is open up another copy of this file, and on this soft section, I'm going to turn up the soft section 1 dB. Now, when we go back and forth, there's nothing really interesting happening. All you can see is that the softer section gets a little bit louder. But where it gets interesting is what happens when we open up the waveform statistics window in RX. As you can see, the unaffected file is reading an integrated loudness of minus 8.7 LUFS. When we open up the file in which I turned up the soft section, now the integrated loudness is minus 11.3. It's reading minus 2.6 dB softer, even though I turned up the soft section. Now, that's crazy, right? Some might think that this is a bug in RX or something. But actually, this is a very important part about how loudness is measured for streaming services.
Okay, so to kind of, I'm not even going to summarize, but we'll just kind of talk and explain and talk about more how this works is, even though Spotify, I think we very commonly hear, oh, you want your song at negative 14, regardless of if that's a true measurement of like how the loudness will translate. Spotify, in a sense, they use things like negative 14 LUFS to decide how loud they make your song. But it's decided on an algorithm that doesn't necessarily measure the whole song most of the time. So to do my best to try to summarize how we described it is there's a threshold of loudness, and their algorithm only measures the average LUFS or it measures the loudness past a certain threshold, and it takes that average. So if you turn up the quieter parts, it past that threshold, it will add that to the average, bring down your average loudness, thus translating to it being louder on streaming platforms.
Yeah, that's pretty. It's hard to describe without seeing it, because in the video, which you should check out on the iZotope YouTube channel where Dale Becker is answering this.
Yeah.
You can see the visual of like the gate for the Loof's meter to be active. You see like a dotted line, and then you see the waveform of the song, and the quiet sections are below that. So that's not being counted in the overall integrated Loof's, which is the streaming services use for their normalization. So if you bring up the quieter part to be just barely above that threshold, then it will use the quieter parts to determine the average, right? The integrated Loof's.
Yeah.
So thus, it'll actually technically be louder, but the normalization will see it as quieter. So it'll be considered more often. So it will be louder on streaming services. I've always wondered about this.
Yeah, I'm happy that we now know.
Yeah, there's something really interesting about that. And then I don't know if you're going to add that as part of the clip, but like he talked about upward compression in order to bring up those quiet parts and using the new RX optimization, loudness optimization tool. I think that this is going to be like standard from now on.
Yeah.
Holy moly. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Dale Becker also is part of the crew that he's a big nerd when it comes to this stuff. And there's a Instagram channel that he has called like Audio Accountability, where he also made a recent discovery with like, I don't know if it's specific to Spotify or to all streaming platforms in general. I think it was specific to Spotify.
I know what you're talking about.
Where if you have an album of songs, and one of the songs is like -8 LUFS, which means that it's going to be knocked down 6 dBs or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. -8 LUFS. But all of the other ones are -12 LUFS. I think what he discovered is in an album context, Spotify will knock down all of the songs to match the loudest song.
Oh, interesting.
So there, I forgot exactly what's going on. But he talked about that discovery as well when he released a song and only one of the songs was as loud as it was meant to be and the other songs were not. And he was trying to figure out why, and talking to like some Spotify engineers, that's what he discovered.
Yeah. Isn't part of the audio accountability thing that he runs, didn't they do something to make it so that streaming platforms have to be more transparent with how they do that stuff?
It was the idea of like, it wasn't a movement to get them to be more transparent about it, although that's part of it.
Yeah.
It seems like it was a movement to like discover what's going on and how it works.
Yeah.
More on like his end rather than on their end.
Oh, okay. No, I like that.
Yeah, like trying to make this information more available and clear for everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like hard. Like, there's not really many thoughts to share. It's just very helpful to now understand how that measurement tool can work. But yeah, it's yeah. I don't know. I don't know if there's any much more to dive into with.
Yeah,
it.
My only concern is like, if you listen to this podcast episode and that audio clip and you don't quite understand what's happening, go watch the video clip.
Yeah,
because I do think that this is actually very important to the release of all music on streaming platforms.
Yeah,
I think we're going to be battling with normalization for the foreseeable future. I don't think that that's a feature that's leaving anytime soon.
Yeah,
because it is fairly practical to the consumer.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to listen to like a song that like kills my ears after listening to like a very quiet song, you know?
Yeah. No, and this makes a lot more sense. Like I mentioned before, I feel like reading, because I think it's even on Spotify's page, they'll say like, you want it to be at 14 LUFS. On the very surface, that sounds like, okay, just need to make sure my song's at 14 LUFS. But now this helps us understand there's more complexity to what makes it -14 LUFS. But yeah, it's like you're pretty much bringing up the quiet parts to bring the average loudness down so that they can turn it up more.
Yeah, that's
it's hard to explain just verbally with it.
There's always been songs, I don't know about you, but with me and my releases, some songs always sound louder on Spotify than other songs.
Yeah.
And I've done thousands of songs, all within varying loudness on Spotify. And I will say that this is a part of my understanding with loudness that I feel like was missing.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't quite figure out why some songs were louder and some songs were quieter, even though the Loof's were like very similar.
Yeah.
And I just assumed it was like a Dunning-Kruger, not Dunning-Kruger. Wrong scientists. That's cognitive bias. The Fletcher-Munson curves,
mm-hmm.
where it's just how humans ear. So like, oh, those mixes that sound louder with the same Loof's must utilize more 3K, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like it's the perceived volume, but I think this is the missing piece of the puzzle that may also have been dramatically affecting perceived loudness versus integrated loudness. And it's very interesting to see that. And now, and I hate to promote a product that we're not currently sponsored by.
Yeah.
They're not giving us money, although if you want to go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/ Isotope,
yeah,
you can see what discounts they're doing. They have a practical tool that I think is very useful to helping mitigate this issue.
Yeah. Yeah, they have, because on top of this, they do have a feature on it that you could preview exactly how it will sound like on, not just on Spotify, but on Spotify, if you have the high quality audio setting, or on Spotify, if you have the medium audio quality setting, or like all the different kinds, and for Apple Music too. So that's a very useful. Yeah. I genuinely, this is like one of those few tools that I like when I looked more into it and heard about, I was like, whoa, this will be like pretty game changing.
Yeah. Yeah. And for across the board.
It's a very practical, yeah, application.
Pretty soon there's going to be other companies that make plugins or tools that will do something similar.
Yeah.
But the fact that this brings up opens a whole new level of awareness for consumers and producers alike.
Yeah.
I think it'll be very interesting. And I think, honestly, I think it'll create a lot more fairness within the normalization game too.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm mastering an album later today. So I'm like very excited to use this.
Are you subscribed to the Isotope bundle? So you have it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
My only issue with this is like, when I master my own mixes, I don't bounce out the mix and then put in a master file, like create a master file in a separate session. I just bounce the master file.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have a plugin that I could just put on the end to do it. Looks like I have to have a bounced pre-master.
I'll look into it for that.
Yeah. I need to figure out the workflow for that. I'd have to potentially change my workflow for it.
Yeah. My guess is they probably would have, at least for like the Spotify and Apple Music preview, they would have a plugin that you could use, but, I'll let you know. Yeah. I'll be doing it today. But yeah, that's kind of all we have. This kind of, it's
super
a good,
important episode. Very nerdy, but very good.
This is like a very, very important thing to understand with how your song will translate on, like on different streaming platforms. Even like, I would highly recommend getting the plugin, but even just understanding this basis of how they measure out and how they decide how loud to make things will have a big effect on how things will translate. But yeah, that's kind of all. Thank you for listening. Like Deke said, you could go check out the Mixing Music Podcast website to see if there's any sales going on and get some discounts. And yeah, happy mixing and stay saucy.
So many amazing free plugins available for download right now to help you with your production and mixing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/plugins to download and get access to a bunch of free and premium plugins on Plugin Boutique. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.